Morning. Have you ever read graffiti? Children scratching their names on choir stalls. Not here. Adults writing, "Kilroy was here," on the wall. Sometimes, people find rather more subtle ways of writing graffiti, of leaving a mark, of leaving a sign of their presence. It's almost as though the whole of life becomes a wall. The whole of what we do and what we say is like a pen. What will you write on the blank wall of 1991? On Friday, Kilroy was at work making his mark there. He's doing a good job. He's making his mark amongst his colleagues by writing a good computer program, by finishing a job on time, by working longer hours than anybody else. He achieves his personal goals. He empties his in tray by Friday. He achieves significance by what he does. He becomes someone. He's established his identity by what he's written. Kilroy, you see, is driven by ambition. He must be recognised. On Saturday, Kilroy's at home, scratching his name there. The few people that he lives with, the handful of hand-picked friends, they become his readership. And it's essential that these people must notice that Kilroy is here. They must praise him. They must love and appreciate him. So, he writes his graffiti at home. He cooks a meal. He tells a joke. He listens. He does whatever he needs to do to be significant there. He's hooked on receiving praise, addicted to it. He organises his life to receive the next fix of praise from other people. What happens when the thank yous dry up? Friday at work, Saturday at home. On Sunday, Kilroy is at church, scratching his name there. His unhealthy, pathological need for praise and for recognition distorts his motivation and drives him into doing the things in the church which earn him status. One day, he's going to be as famous as Michael Green. Watch out for Kilroy on the sermon card. On the other hand, he ignores and doesn't take on certain jobs because they're a nuisance. If you're at the back serving coffee for people, you can't be amongst your friends, mingling with people, keeping up to date, hearing what's going on. I wonder whether this is possibly a reason why some jobs in the church have always got a queue of applicants, and other jobs are always advertising vacancies. No, not here. It's only Kilroy, I'm sure, who's driven by a need to be someone, with a capital S, isn't it? To be centre stage, to be in the spotlight. On Friday at work, on Saturday at home, on Sunday in church, Kilroy gets everywhere. You know, he was even around at Christmas. He counted the number of Christmas carols he received. He counted the number of times he washed up, or perhaps more particularly, number of times other people didn't, and he did. He even checked to see whether their awful relatives said thank you for the presents that he'd so carefully chosen for them. Some days, Kilroy is really good at getting noticed. He seems to be very good at writing graffiti. He profoundly affects his friends, his church. Sometimes he even gets his name in the newspaper. Do you identify with him at all? Are you successful, an ambitious graffiti writer? A whole new year awaits you, like a huge whitewashed wall. And you're all ready with your pens and your aerosol spray cans, going to write the most terrific monument to yourself over the next 12 months. You're going to really make your mark. But of course, as Christians, it's all going to be for the Lord, isn't it? Of course, the mark you make will just be for the Lord. The influence you exert is part of your witness. Whatever you do, it's for the Lord. After all, it's only other people who build their personal empires, isn't it? On other days, Kilroy doesn't feel quite so successful. He feels a bit like a child at school who's given a big sheet of paper, a big blank sheet of paper by the teacher to write on. But the child can't write very well. And it's hard to get anything down when you don't feel it's going to be any good anyway. It's hard to make a difference in the world. It's hard to have a powerful ministry when nobody seems interested in your story. When no one chooses you to be their friend. And despite all the struggling and effort, nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems interested. Nobody appears to listen. And everyone seems to prefer the company of other people. It's a bit like finding yourself standing on your own at a party, wishing you hadn't come. Deprived of the opportunity to write, and yet desperately feeling the need to, Kilroy's personality dries up and gets malnourished, starved of praise and recognition. His ego wilts and dies through lack of recognition, until poor old Kilroy believes that he's got no worth. Nobody wants to be his friend. He's just a blot on the human landscape. One method of coping with this is to decide that actually writing isn't any fun anyway. So why bother? And as Christians, we should be willing to be anonymous, to be ignored, to be left on the sidelines. Jesus wants me for a doormat. Serving others and focusing on their needs is the priority, isn't it? It's the number of Christmas cards I send that matters, not the number of cards I receive, we tell ourselves. I don't know about you, but I can't keep up this act very long. When my personal need for recognition and for praise is denied, it disappears underground. It carries on infecting my motives and my actions. I can't help it, but sometimes I still measure how much my wife loves me, how much my boss values me, how much my friends enjoy my company. All the time, I'm secretly keeping score, fed, nourished on the praise of other people, hungry, hurting when it's missing. The smiles, the pay rises, the thank yous, they're like an addiction. They bolster up my feeble ego and I begin to fall apart when they're missing. So is that the choice? Graffiti writer or doormat? There's a third option. A third option that's buried in the Christmas story. The story of Jesus, who was the celebrated, praised, worshipped Son of Heaven. And he left it behind him. The story of a life that comes to us like a poem, like a message, like a word from God. The truth of Christmas is not that we are writers. It's that we're readers. We have been written to. God the Father sent his Son into the world as the final word. God said it all. God has spoken to us by his Son. We're called to be readers and not writers. But what kind of message has God written? Three general points, and then a brief look at one of the passages that was read to us. What kind of message has God written? First of all, it's a message of mystery. The writing of God is like a wonderful poem, full of asides and half-suggested images, full of hidden meanings. And it's time to rediscover something of the mystery of this poem, this God. If you think, perhaps through familiarity, that the Christmas story is straightforward, then read it again. Look again. There's terrific richness and majesty and mystery in this message. Mystery. Look at birth. Compare and contrast the birth of John the Baptist with the birth of Jesus. What are the similarities and differences? Mystery. Mystery. What does the stable mean for our housing policy? What does affordable rent mean in the context of the stable? Mystery. The choir of praising angels so rapidly surrounded by another choir, a chorus of grieving parents. Why together? Why so rapidly following one another? Mystery. The mystery of worship. Intellectual and affluent stargazers worshipping alongside unschooled and impoverished shepherds. What does this teach us about our worship? Mystery. God has written to us a message full of mystery. It's a message of mystery. It's a message of love. The gospel, the good news, it's that we're already accepted by God. We're already known individually. Individually valued. We don't have to struggle to write our name at all. We don't have to struggle to make our mark in the world. God has given us significance. He has recognized and he has valued each one of us. It's not about graft. It's about gift. God has given us significance. We don't have to achieve it. Ambition, recognition, praise. Graffiti writing is like a huge engine driving our society, driving our individual lives. Jesus can uncouple us from that engine. We no longer have to write our name. We no longer have to strive to make our mark in order to achieve recognition and significance. It's all right to be anonymous, to be unnoticed, to be forgotten. Because God knows. Because we're in His care. It's okay for our name to sink without trace. It's all right for our church's name to be forgotten. It's all right for our work to be ignored. Because God has noticed it. God has recognized it. It's okay to be on the sidelines. It's okay to be a player and not a winner. Because we are special to someone. It's not about being, about knowing someone. It's about being someone. Let's try that one again. It's not about being, becoming, achieving status. About being someone. It's about knowing someone and receiving His message of love. It's a message of mystery. It's a message of love. It's a message of life. What drives us? The fear of death, perhaps. Of being forgotten and disappearing into anonymity. Perhaps that's what drives graffiti writers. As though graffiti writing can become an attempt to escape from death, to achieve a kind of permanence. Even Christian ministry can become a vehicle for achieving immortality, for preserving the magnificent me. But we don't have to preserve ourselves. We don't have to struggle for recognition. We don't have to make our mark. The story of Christmas is not that we must struggle to be writers, but we have been written too. God has given us recognition. God has given us significance and value, now and forever. Let's look at a passage of the Bible that was read for us, that Adrian read. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. In verse 1, two sentences, two opposites. Don't do your good deeds to achieve recognition and reputation and respect from people. Otherwise, you will have no reward. What do you want? Recognition or reward? Opposites. In John 5, I'll read it, enter into it. The same thought is reinforced by Jesus. John 5:44 says, "How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God?" How can you believe, brothers and sisters, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another? What do you want? Praise from one another? Or do you want to believe? Opposites. Paul reinforces it in Galatians 1:10. He asks a question. Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Am I trying to win the approval of people or of God? Opposites. The approval of people or the approval of God? What do you want? Make a decision. Choose. I urge you. Choose to be a servant of Christ. Choose to be a believer. Choose to go for the reward which God gives. And throw away recognition from people. Matthew 6. The first four verses talk about good deeds. Last Easter, David wrote a paper setting out the goals for the church, key priorities for growth. Three priorities: fellowship, evangelism, prayer. Fellowship is good deeds, isn't it? Caring for one another, loving one another. Evangelism is good deeds, isn't it? In your words and your actions. Good deeds. Why do we do them? How are we going to progress into this vision that's been set before us? What are our priorities going to be? Good deeds to achieve status? Good deeds to do our own thing, to get recognised, to achieve praise? Let's do our good deeds for God and not to get recognition and status. Verses 5 to 18 are about private devotion, the development of our prayer life. Another major area identified in key priorities. Jesus here warns us, it's there like a chorus, time and time again through this passage. Why are we doing it? Why are we fasting? Why are we praying? What are our motives? Why are we involved? It's almost as though graffiti writing can sneak in subtle ways, even into our devotional life. And we can find ourselves praying and fasting, coming to church and worshipping, to be seen here, to be recognised. So let me sum up. 4 points. 1. God invites us into security. Security in his love. We don't have to earn his favour. We are already are special to him. We're already significant. Our actions, our thoughts, our feelings already matter to him. Always matter. God invites us into security. 2. God invites us into obedience. Please him rather than trying to purchase the appreciation of others. Obedience. 3. In some of us, we know who we are. The need to write our own name has been strong in 1990. The need to achieve recognition. The dependency, like an addiction, on praise. For some of us, that has been strong. God wants to make us a reader of his message in 1991. And as we absorb his message, our own reputation, our own empire, our own graffiti will be rubbed out and the name of Jesus written up instead. Do you want that? me rubbed out, Jesus written up. Finally, in St. Nick's as a whole, God wants to develop the areas of caring for others and prayer during 1991. He can only do this if we heed the warning and we do it all for God and not to impress the people around us. Let's please Him and gain the reward which He gives. Let's pray together.